I'm back in fighting shape after what my lovely wife decided to call a man cold. She's such a softy, always in my corner with encouraging words. The Wily Wig and Wanker and I had to pull out a spare episode, and what a sack of disappointment that was. Much like my wife's nurturing instinct. Welcome to Seaside Pod Review. Enough whinging, sit back, we're talking Queen.
Brand new angle, highly commendable. Seaside Pod Review. Seaside Pod Review. Seaside Pod Review.
Right, let's fucking pod. You dirty greaseball.
That's where you're going to fucking start today.
I don't know where that came from. That's really mean and completely untrue. And not heartfelt in any way.
Yeah, well, Kev, we all know your mean-spiritedness, and it carries into the pod. It's really toxic work environment is what I'm really kind of getting at.
Toxic work, I mean,
toxic work environment. Oh, go fuck yourself. I did, by the way, this is a Ruddy, because we're splitting him in halves on this. I have, the money's been sent. Ruddy, you just stand, oh, you're actually a postman, I know. But what I would like you to do is just stand by the mailbox, your mailbox, preferably, and just wait. It's coming. I wouldn't even bother going to work again.
50% of the vast revenue that we generate here on Seaside Pod Review.
Well, I would say without question, we are definitely, like, this definitely costs us money, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah. For sure, yeah.
We haven't made a fucking nickel. It costs us money to do this. It
costs us money.
He loves you and he needs money. He always needs money. He's all powerful, all perfect, all knowing and all wise. Somehow, just can't handle money.
But we should say on that, actually, I will tell people, I will hawk a little bit. We do have a Ko-fi account, or Ko-fi, so like a buy you coffee. So if anyone does want to donate a few shackles, no pressure, no expectation at all, then we do have a Ko-fi account. And I will say thank you so much to Ruddy and to Alan Dudney, who both donated. And me and Randy are talking about potentially going for lunch on Saturday, and we will probably use that money to buy ourselves a pie or something, or maybe we'll buy the Cardinal a pint.
There you go. And thanks so much for doing that, you guys. And absolutely no need to do it. Kev's ridiculously wealthy. He doesn't like to talk about it. I'm just a humble man of the arts. Just barely sort of eking by. And
What's that? I can hear in the
Kev's
background.
Got like fat stacks. So let's just don't worry about sending anybody any money.
Oh, that is the world's smallest violin. Playing the world's saddest tune for Randy.
Yeah, says Kevin, the fucking rich million. He lives, ladies and gentlemen, he lives in a fucking mansion.
Look, my moat's not even that deep. I told Corey this. My moat's barely even 6 feet deep.
It's like a 3,500 square foot home in Saskatoon, in one of Saskatoon's richest and ritziest neighborhoods. It's walled off. There's like a gate that moves back and forth, and you gotta like slip the dude a five so he can let you in. That's if he lets you in. Often when I pull up in my old wreck of a vehicle, they won't even let me fucking buy.
Well, you know, we do try to get the riffraff out, you know. That's...
Well, yes, that's what I'm saying.
I never really actually determined whether you are riff or raff.
Mm.
You know, so.
Well, it's raff, no question.
You're raff, okay.
In my castle with 10 different sorts of vaguely posh animal, all fighting each other, then I kill a servant and have sex with the wall. That's yours!
That's who you are!
All that silliness aside, how you doing, mate?
Well, I'm all right. I was a little bit sick last week, you know? I spent a couple of days on the couch. And I'm not sure if you can hear it in my voice anymore, but I'm still battling a bit of the head cold, but I'll tell you this though. This is something very, very exciting that happened. I got healthy just in time to get my ass in the car and drive to fucking Moose Jaw and film some basketball.
Sports go sports!
So, you know,
I can't really complain, right? You know?
Well,
I'm working.
Money coming
I'm working, right? I'm
working. Plenty of people aren't.
Lots of people aren't. You know what? I'm a firm believer in appreciating the gig. You got to appreciate the gig. And if you don't appreciate the gig, then you're doing the wrong fucking gig.
Even if it is the dullest sport in the world. Well, second dullest. Baseball, I suppose, takes number one spot, but...
Yeah, baseball's boring. I don't mind actually basketball. It's at least fast moving. You know what I was thinking about basketball? Because I've got lots of time to just sit there and watch this and just think about it. Because I'm not really following it and I don't really care about the outcome. And very often don't even know what sport I'm there going to record until I'm there. But what I'd say about basketball is essentially it's all offense. There's basically really no defense. They just kind of run back and forth. It is so maybe they should amend the rules a little bit.
You body know, checking.
Maybe make it more like hockey. Yeah.
And yes.
great big fat wide defenders just you get anywhere near, then they're just gonna fucking shoulder check you and knock you into the fucking paint.
I agree. And I also think that the net should be at least 15 feet high.
Yeah.
And then you should have trampolines. Just to introduce an element of real, actual, qualified danger and no landing.
Yeah, some real risk. Yeah, exactly.
And there's no, like, it's not on a board over the wall. It's like the hoop is on the wall. So if you miss your time of your jump or someone or one of the defenders blocks you and pushes you, splat, straight into the wall. I mean, I'd turn out for that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I really think we're onto something.
Yeah, basketball
I really think we're onto something.
My understanding of basketball is... I score, give the ball to you, you score. Give the ball to me, I score, give the ball to you, you score. Give the ball to me, I score, give the ball to you. Oh, you missed. Give the ball to me, I score, give the ball to you, you score. And essentially, you really could get it all down to about 5 minutes. Because the game is won and lost really in about the last 5 minutes, from what I can gather. So this whole 55 minutes before is just a waste of everyone's time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like, well, you're not wrong. Like I said, it's all offense. There's no defense. It's just, you're right. You know, run, score, turn around, run, score, turn around, run, score. And like you say, if they don't, well, they just turn around and run, fucking score the other direction. You know what I mean?
It's just a lot of people running around, throwing a ball through a little hoop. Although, and I mean,
to the best of my knowledge, invented by a Canadian, and I'll never forgive that Canadian.
Neither will I. Right. Okay. Well, that's all fine and well. That's all fine and well, Mr. Woods. We had a song last week that we talked about in your absence. Well, you were there. We just recorded it previously.
So were you, yeah.
And so was I. And just the two of us, you know. Yeah. We'd like to keep it just the two of us. And we talked about a song called I Can Hear Music, which was Larry Lurex, which people reminded me is a play on Gary Glitter, which I'm glad I didn't remember because I didn't want to talk about that fucking horrific human being. Anyway.
Ooh, it ought to be a crime. No friend of mine, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
We put the poll up on Twitter, and we tried to guess how it would come out. You probably have no fucking clue how you voted, but you voted 50-50.
Good.
And I went 40-60.
Wow.
For the love of all things green, why don't you tell the good people how the Twitter poll actually panned out?
We got a champion at 46.8 and biting the dust at 53.2. Yeah. That's French for two, Kev.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
It's not beast. Oh, no, that's twice, isn't it, beast?
So you it looks like I won, hey?
You won again? I'm going to have to top these up because I bet you we're pretty much dead even now, I'll bet you. Even though you always profess not to be plugged into the Queen's zeitgeist, I think you're starting to get the temperature of the room here, Mr. Woods.
Well, maybe after hanging around with all this gang of goons here. But I will tell you this. When I texted Kev, when we're going to put the Seaside pod on, because I was ill, and he told me it was I Can Hear Music, and I had absolutely no fucking recollection of, in any way, shape, or form, the song, nor do I now at this point.
Yeah,
and but I do recall that I didn't like it. So I'm not gonna go back and listen to it. You can't fucking make me.
I would never dream of it, mate. I mean, I don't have any intention to really go back and listen to it. I've got the single. Probably never play it. It'll just be there. It's just a little curio. It's a pre-Queen, you know, or similar.
The Ronettes, right? It's the Ronettes,
right? It's the Ronettes song, yeah.
Yeah, like if I want to hear it, I'll just put the Ronettes on.
Yeah, or the Beach Boys, which is the version that they based it on, but both far superior versions. But yeah, I mean, Facebook was a little bit more, actually, a bit more damning, which is unusual for Facebook. It was 33% champion and 67% bites the dust. So even, you know, even with that borne in mind, 44.6 and 55.4 overall. So it came back dust, which I think is the right thing. But, and, you know, a lot of people were nostalgic about it, including Kathy Klimek, I think it's Klimek, who said, "I actually liked this song until today. Sadly, everything you guys pointed out was correct. I dusted it, but I'm still going to listen to it once in a while." Freddie's first song. And yeah, I apologize for, you know, ruining a song for people. And because I was looking it up, and this was basically released, I think, like 2 weeks before the debut album. So the debut album had been in the can a long time, you know, because they were still trying to get the right release and all this kind of stuff. So it was, they'd recorded all the Queen songs before they recorded this. But, and then this guy actually went on to, the guy who did the production on this, the engineer, did production on a song, or maybe two songs, I think, on Queen 2, which we'll, when we get to those, we'll see if we think he did any better on those.
Yeah, Island I mean, the cool thing was hearing the young Freddie, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was sort of the best part of the whole.
Always, yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
Belen Davidson says, "I'm reluctantly dusting it. So tough. I really like it. I sometimes put it on deliberately. It's on a multi-artist playlist I've made. Hearing the other version shows how bad this version is. It's quite poor. Yeah, there's something about it." Sigh. And I pointed out to her that, you know, "I sometimes put it on deliberately" is a very good example of the expression "damning with faint praise." Yeah.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I love that. Ruddy Rutherford says, "It's a wee fun curio, but that's about it. Nothing about it makes me want to seek it out or listen to it. In fact, this is only the second time I've heard it. Mixing is horrendous and it's unremarkably average. It's munching the mites for me. I'm glad it exists." Munching the mites. I like that. I don't even know what the fuck it means, but I think it sounds great.
Oh, I love it.
Queen Rocks. Queen Rocks Australia. "As a fan of Spectre and Wilson Productions, this pales in comparison. An interesting curio in the Queen-related canon. It's a fine as an experiment, but dust as a 7-inch release. The Beach Boys version is actually produced by Carl Wilson. And the vocal harmony breakdown is utterly sublime." Yeah.
It's always going to be it's the Beach Boys, right? I mean, those boys could sing.
I think they could. Lisa Malloy, she says, "Dust, funny how love is the only song I dislike off my favorite Queen album. And this is in the same vein."
Yeah, we'll get to that when we get to it. There's similarity, but I think that Funny How Love is just an infinitely better song, but we'll decide that when we get there. Jim C. Curtis Sparkle says, "I don't think I've heard it before, and I know I'll never hear it again." So there's that bag of shite. Larry Lurex, or is it Lurex My Arsex? Ben Van Santen says, "I can hear music lacks the iconic Queen vibe for me. It's Freddie's voice against a different backdrop, not the Queen spectacle I adore. Hashtag dust." And Rob Morris says, "Don't think I knew this existed before this episode. Ignorance really is bliss. Dust." So yeah, I mean, I think it is one of those. I mean, I've been a big Super Queen nerd when I was young, and being a vinyl collector as well, it was sort of one of those, like I said, it was one of those holy grail type of things. And so that's, I think, probably really why I know about it.
Right, right. Dieter says, "This one doesn't do anything for me. Dust. He doesn't like it at all." And Chrissy Lake, "The Waters of Love. Dust. It's all lovely hearing Freddie, who was yet to grow into his voice, but this just sounds so manufactured with a shitty, with a shitty as mud wall of sound mix. Funny How Love is did such a better job. I feel bad dusting it, but it just exists." Steve Ursel says, "It's a fun little relic, and I am a sucker for those lilting 60s pop Motown type melodies. But as you clearly demonstrated, there are much superior earlier versions, which makes this Larry Lurex cover kind of pointless. Dust is what Steve says."
Yeah, it kind of is. Pointless is a good bloody way of putting it. It is.
Yeah.
It's like, why bother? I mean, so yeah. Like, do it as an experiment if you want to try and get the engineering and figure out how to do that sort of mix, but don't put it out, you know?
Yeah.
Black Pie says, reluctantly dusted. It's a lovely curiosity, but nothing more. There is a direct line between this and Fairy Fellow's Masterstroke, as Robin Cable, I believe, is credited with production on that. Well, Fairy Fellow's Masterstroke is a billion times better than this song. Paul Bradbury says, Vintage Queen it isn't, but there's enough there for me. It's close, but it's a champion. So we've got one vote up there. Everything's been dust so far, but Paul's championing it, so that's absolutely fine by me.
Alice's Dad. I never actually heard this until I got the solo collection. And while it's okay, it's not Queen. A curiosity then, and it's not necessarily a great one. Dust, unfortunately. And Steve at Queen Rock says, it's a shame the Wheel didn't choose Going Back. Now that's a gem.
So that was the B-side. It was I think it was recorded in the same session. Much better song.
Cool.
Midwife Nikki says, I loved it when I heard it the first time, and I still love it now. Just another bit of eclectic Queen ephemera. I think they were demonstrating the studio rather than themselves at the time. Yeah, they were just doing a favor for Robin Cable, right? So,
Hank, a lovely start, raw and youthful. And Sarah Chapman says, I need to listen to the EP first. I've only heard it a handful of times, to be honest. Earworm now, though.
And Sarah is back on Twitter, just so she can sort of, I think mainly so she can keep an eye on these pesky Queen people over on Twitter and keep them in line, because, you know, Sarah's the admin of the Queen Pod Facebook page and does a bloody good job, so hopefully she can keep everyone in order. Blair 98, interesting, but against the Queen catalogue, it is not a champion. And Aaron Mullen says, not a patch on the Beach Boys version, in my honest opinion. I like it as an early oddity with plus points against Freddie's youthful vocals and Brian's guitar outro. However, the mix is really poor, and unsurprisingly, you get the feeling it's performed with little conviction. Duly dusted. Hey, dude, Aaron, leave Julie out of this.
Should we try the veal, Kev?
You should try the veal. And also, okay, please tip your waiter.
Dominic Pierce says, irrespective if it's compared to the rest of the Queen or Larry Lurk's catalogs, it is definitely in the bottom 50%, and the Larry Lurk's catalog only consists of two songs, Dust. Tom Bojay, keen bits, but not a fan of the Wall of Sound. Surprised that they put...
Funny How Love Is.
On...
Queen 2.
Did Brian mean this turd with...
Oh, Someday, One Day.
You never heard my song before. The music was too loud. Almost jam until I listened to the two of you converse. With all due respect,
FRC Dust.
So what's the RC? What's RC?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah. I think we've got a great new system. I like this. Every time we come up with, we come up with an acronym, I'm just going to fucking point and you do it.
Points at me, and then if I don't know it, then I look like a fucking rock gomer.
That's right. Well, no, but you're the expert. You're the expert.
We've got to get out of this habit of calling me an expert in anything. I'm an expert in nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin is the self-styled expert on Queen.
I don't like you anymore. I'm not podcasting with you anymore. I'm going to find a different friend and podcast with them. Okay, over on Facebook, Sean McGinnity from the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast says, yeah, nah. I can usually get by weaker production, but there wasn't enough in the song itself to elevate it. I do like me some 50s-style music like the Ronettes, sure. And it's clear that their music is elevated by their arrangements. Nothing elevated this one. Bites the dust, more like choked on the dust.
I hate Winnipeg.
Yeah, it's a sentiment that's being repeated and repeated.
Suzanne Morris. I want to love it. Oh, Freddie. No. Dust balls. Much prefer Going Back. And Matt Williams. Champion for me. Love Fred's vocal on it. Producer Robin Cable based this on the excellent and definitive Beach Boys version from 1969, which was a top 10 hit in the UK. As a thanks to them, he helped them out with a production on Queen 2, specifically on Funny How Love Is, giving it a similar Wall of Sound flavor.
Yeah. Mark Spankanson says, compared to the other versions of this song, I have to dust it. When you're making a remake, it has to be of the same quality or better than the original to be a champion. There's lots of... I kind of posted that somewhere, maybe on my personal Facebook page, Randy, that there's lots of really good covers where I think the cover, as good as it is, still doesn't get anywhere near the original. And the example one of the examples that I'd use was High Ground. Because I think the Chili Peppers version is a good... They do a good sort of rocking version of that song, but It's nowhere near Stevie Wonder's original, which is just, you know, no one's ever going to be able to do that song better than that version, right? Yeah. But I get what Mark's saying. Russell Watkins says, Champion, I've always liked the song, and this has charm. Yeah, they're always after me, Lucky Charms. Terrible Irish accent.
Brian Graham, Champion for me. Maybe that's some nostalgia, but I love the very young-sounding Freddie. He shines through the awful production. As a side note, I've always thought the B-side Going Back a much better and more beautiful song. Yeah. And Nikki P says, she's in agreement with Brian. I'm with you on every single point you've made and twice about the B-side. Beautiful piece of music. So, yeah, and Nikki might be a new contributor.
Yeah,
welcome
I think so.
To the fold.
Serena Shimaka says, I first heard this track on Queen in News in CD back in the 90s. I've always liked it. And the Dusty Springfield cover of Going Back, the Birds did it too. Anyway, it's a champion for me. And she posted, that was a weird, the way I said posted there. Posted. Anyway, she posted the CD cover there. And I had the same one. And that maybe that's the first time I heard it too, before I got the vinyl. So I'm Rude Seegers to finish up here says, unnecessary cover, nobody needed. Queen had their share as well, like Wycliffe, Jean, Messing Up Another One Bites the Dust, or Five doing We Will Rock You. Ugh, let's not think about that. Only good thing is they learned what not to do in their future. I can hear dust.
We didn't talk about this in the episode, my theory on cover songs, right? Maybe we did, hey?
No, go ahead.
So here's my theory. So whichever song you hear first, so let's just say it's song. Did I bring that up before?
No, but we should
it's
talk
usually,
about it.
Yeah, it's usually the song you hear first, like the version of it you hear first, and that tends to, if you like it, you gravitate towards it, that tends to be the one you like the best.
Yeah.
If there was a previous version or if there was a version afterwards. And it's certainly not all the time, but that's just generalization.
Yeah, I think so. And especially I think that's definitely true of when it's one of your favorite bands. You know, you don't tend to adopt a cover version of one of your favorite bands very often. So one of the exceptions for me definitely is I wouldn't necessarily say it's better, but I like it more is Lennon's version of Stand By Me. I just think it's fucking awesome. The way it builds and the way he pushes and just the way his vocal works on that song.
Yeah.
And there's a guy I had on my Tom Petty podcast who has a band project out in New York called Cyber Attack, who did a fucking amazing version of Listen to Her Heart by Tom Petty. And it takes the song, but it takes it in a completely different, I mean, it's not even vaguely the same. And that's what I like. I like it when someone takes a song and makes it completely unique and completely their own. And that's when I can sort of say, I like that one just as much as this one, even though, you know, they're not directly comparable.
Right, right. You want her to think that she's being used. You want me to think it's over. Can't you see it doesn't matter what you do? But you don't even know her. She's gonna listen to her heart. It's gonna tell her what to do. She might need a little loving, but she don't need you.
Yeah, well, we got a wheel to spin here, Randy. We're not doing cover versions, we're doing Queen. And there are no cover versions in the Queen catalog on record.
This is the main event. Is that what you're trying to say there, buddy?
Main event. We've had the appetizers. We've had our amuse-bouche. You know, we've had like a little aperitif to get us warmed up, get libations. And now we're ready for our, I don't know, for you probably what, steak and lobster? Mm. Mr. Woods, would that go down well today?
If money's no object, fuck yeah. Steak and lobster would be grand. What about you? You would just have a bowl of soup probably because you don't like strawberries, you don't like steak.
Strawberries can fuck off, steak's boring.
Yeah.
And so you can't cook it properly.
We just have a little bit of just a little bowl of butter or something, or maybe put some salt in there.
I will have a rather marvelous smoked salmon with some roasted greens. And a wonderful garlicky, ranchy mashed potato. How about that? Mm. How's that sound?
Sounds all right. Mm. I wonder how they smoke the salmon. They don't think they even have any lungs, do they?
Fucking hell. Jeez. Is that the level we're at tonight?
You fucking started it.
Oh, shit, I think I did too. Well, that's it. 1-1. We're 1 each. Oh, we've blown our dad joke quarter for the day. Okay, well,
there we go.
Listen up here, you, Mr. Woods. What would you like to listen to?
Radio Gaga.
What's the Radio Gaga? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bit disgusting. I've been having a conversation with a few people about Radio Gaga, and it's a song that you would think would be pretty universal, and I don't necessarily think it is.
So for what you're trying to say is all they don't need?
All they do not need is Radio Gaga, Radio Goo Goo. Well, I'll stay in the 80s with you. I'll stick in the 80s with you, and I want to go to Hot Space, because we've kind of, it's been a while since we were at Hot Space.
Yeah, we've only done four.
We've done four, and it's been a wee while. It's been a few weeks. So I want to get into, let's do Cool Cat. I'd like to have, so we've got Radio Gaga and Cool Cat. So over on our Discord, don't like calling it a Discord server. Let's call it a Discord community. There we go. We'll use the word community. We have some manifestations.
Server, yeah, it throws people off.
I
yeah,
think it does. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
So we're in our Discord community, which everyone should join because it's a happening place. It's where all the hep cats are at. See, I'm updating my language to fit in with the kids in it. Barry John Williams wants to hear Nevermore. Nikki wants Sleeping on the Sidewalk. Blagpie Andy and Winnick, Flick of the Wrist. Chrissy wants Rocket, Prime Jive. Aaron Mullen, Let Me Entertain You. Steve Urschel, Sail Away Suit Sister. It's Mark Spankhansen, 1 Year of Love. Michael J. Smith wants Dragon Attack. Paz, It's a Hard Life. Alan Dude needs Life is Real, a song for Lennon. So another Hot Space shout there. Donica, is that Donica, I think, maybe? Wants a Khashoggi Ship. Matt wants, so that's Matt Greenham wants Brighton Rock. Queen Rocks wants Pain Is So Close to Pleasure. Paul Bradbury wants Mustafa. And Ruddy, well, he's bidding for a fight from the inside. So we've had a bit of a run with people. We've had twice in a row when we've been doing these manifestations from Discord where someone's actually manifested their song.
It's a fickle beast.
Spinning and spinning. It's a fickle beast. I mean, we've got a lot of manifestations, so someone you'd think would get what they want to listen to. But in fact, that is not the case. Randy, we're going back to Sheer Heart Attack. Which song are we listening to tonight, my friend?
She Makes Me, Stormtrooper in Stilettos, up Sheer Heart Attack. And I don't know of this one, but is that a Star Wars reference or what?
It's not a Star Wars reference. It predates Star Wars. Yeah, it predates Star Wars, and we'll get into that. I'm sure there'll be some chat about that when we do our we've got to go do something now. We've got to go find out about these Stormtroopers, about these stilettos, and why. And who she is and who she's making. How are we going to do that, Randy?
Do your research!
And now for something completely different.
The pleasure is the blame. Ain't the difference what you're saying. I don't see green. The only god I need is the ace of spades.
All right there, Mr. Brun. This is a Brian May joint here at 4:09. And we got Brian, John, and Roger all playing on this track. We're missing our favorite Queen, which is quite interesting. Anyhow, produced by Queen and Roy Thomas Baker, sound engineer Mike Stone, recorded in 74 in London, and Trident Studios also in London. And I have definitely not heard this. So I'm really quite eager to hear it because it sounds like it's a psychedelic type tune, which I generally kind of tend to gravitate to. So, and nothing to do with Star Wars, Kev. Just so
thing to do.
Just to clear that up.
Excuse me, sir, but that R2 unit is in prime condition. A real bargain.
It's the, you know, and I'm sure that Ian will correct me in my pronunciation on this, but the Sturmtruppen, the German army sent to the front lines on the battlefields in World War I. Sturmtruppen, yeah?
Sturmtruppen?
Something like that. Sorry, Ian. It's probably like massively, massively offensive.
Yeah, it's just like insulting to all German people.
Oh my lord!
Like, oh, that fucking Brown.
Yeah, so Brian said in a I think it's 2011 interview here that the subtitle actually the Stormtrooper and Stilettos was Roger's idea because he said, "Look, I really like the song. It has a great beat and everything, but I don't like this title." And he said, they said this in 1975 or something. He said, you should call it Stormtroopers and Stilettos if it has this big beat. And I said, okay, you can call it that as well if you want. So we put She Makes Me and in brackets Stormtrooper and Stilettos. The collaboration on the title.
Yeah.
With nothing else. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah. Old Rog just can't keep his trap shut.
He just
eh?
Can't fucking keep his ideas to himself.
Just can't fucking leave it alone. I want you to work on your own fucking lyrics, Rog.
Yeah. About that, hey? Okay, well, here, let's listen to She Makes Me, Stormtrooper in Stilettos. Is there a bit of doubling on Brian's vocal there? Would you say? There's a couple of times where it sounds a little bit thicker than just one voice.
Yeah, there very well could be. I got to be honest with you, I was really quite consumed with that snare sound.
Not a fan.
Are you?
Don't know whether I'd really let it bother me to this point in my life, but but I don't think I've probably never listened to this song critically either, is the other thing, right?
Yeah, right.
As is the case with most of the Queen catalog, this is an exercise that I'm going through anew, so I will pay more attention when we start the song again, Randy.
Nice harmonies there.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful harmonies. Yeah, I mean, and without Freddie, which, you know, is... And I don't think, actually, does Roger sing on this? No, he doesn't. So this is all... Vocally, it's all Brian, which, you know, we've commented before on, I think, on a couple of his solo songs that it's not quite the same when you don't have all of them harmonizing, but this one sounds really good.
Does sound quite nice.
With the snare sound, no, I don't love it. But I don't know really... what type of snare you would use in a song like this, just because of the feel that they're going for. It does sort of match the overall tone, don't you think?
No.
No? Okay.
No, I mean, it sounds like it's just got maybe too much snare.
Right.
And I mean, the metal snares the chains, yeah. On the bottom. Yeah. And I don't like, and I know they're doing it for effect. It's the big giant reverb. I just think it's too long. Much.
Yeah.
Just like the verb's too long. It should have cut off sooner. But hey, man.
Just a bit more crack on the snare then really is what we're saying. You'd like to hear just a bit more definition on the snare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what, Randy? Maybe what I can do at some point is I can put these into fader and stem this motherfucker. Take a snare sound from a different Queen song from this era and drop it in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll do that. We'll do a little remix to see what people think. And they'll hate it and they'll tell me so. And they'll tell you you're wrong, but that's what'll happen. what do you think? Like, just your general impression, because obviously we've got two verses. It's we're a minute 13 in. Do you like the tone of it? Or are you sort of hoping that it gets somewhere different? Like, what's your general sense of it so far?
You know? I just need to hear the rest of it because I feel like now would be a pretty good time for it to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced it's going to, but I've never heard the song before either. So,
okay, well we'll see if we can subvert your expectations here a little bit, Randy.
Well, yeah, it's got to get psychedelic yet. It's not psychedelic yet, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think psychedelic's the wrong, it's not really the right word. It's more that sort of, it's almost like a folky thing, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
that early 60s, Joan Baez and, you know, that kind of hippie era, but not really psychedelic.
Yeah. I mean, I understand what you're saying, yeah. And because it's a long ways away from like Joan Baez.
But, no, for sure. But I know what you mean.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's got that 60s. Yeah. That sort of 60s kind of hippy-dippy sort of tune vibe going for it. Yeah, I got you with that.
The lazy drawl. Yeah.
Yeah, slow, mid-tempo, yep.
I do like that chord change there, though, where it goes, I don't know what the hell that would be, like a fucking diminished, suspended, some kind of nonsense. It'll be a complicated, expensive chord, won't it, Randy?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it really could be. And you're right. That is so far my favorite part of the song.
Yeah. I like that line, how long, you know, but the world will know how long I'll take. And if I'm very slow, she makes me so. There's something about that that I think is there's sort of a gentleness to it that I really quite like. It's sort of, there's a vulnerability to that line that's kind of, it's endearing to me. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, it's a fine line.
It's still a stupid
It's such
cover.
A fine line between stupid and clever.
Yeah,
it's just clever, a little turnabout.
She is my love.
You could almost call that a little bit psychedelic there, where that when it came in, it swept in a little bit, had those kind of weirdy sound effecty type things. And here's where again, I don't know, because obviously, you know, Roger said it sounded, you should call it Stormtrooper and Stilettos, but it almost sounds like he's gone for a, you know, like a war type sound there. Like it sounds like, you know, gun placements going into place and then everything else, right? So it's got a sense of that, but I'm kind of curious if that just was put in afterwards to match with the title, or whether that was in originally, and that's what made Roger think of calling it Stormtroopers and Letters. I'm kind of curious to see if anyone knows right there in the Queen of Us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got just about a minute of the song remaining, Randy, so let's play another about 30 seconds of it to see for you if it goes anywhere.
Thank you.
there's a sort of incongruity to that here, because we know we're getting all these weird sirens and it's slowed down to one chord, and it's sort of like, it's kind of a love song, really, in a way, right? Or it's sort of a personal song, a relationship song, but this end bit doesn't quite seem to match with it, you know, to me.
Well, yeah, I think it's kind of symbolizing madness or something, right? You know, not madness is an exact word, but, you know, chaotic.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just fucking pontificating. Yeah. I think Brian has arrived.
And I'm spent.
And good night. I'm really tired now.
Cigarettes.
Night, love you.
Okay, well, that's not true in Stiletto, so she makes me. Let's give it a listen through again. And we can make some notes and we can give it a proper good listen to. And, you know, because we didn't really talk very much about the bass or anything like that, or we didn't talk about the drums other than the snare, and maybe there's not too much to talk about, but we'll give it another listen through, as it's a new song for you, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about it, you know, to a degree that no one asked us to do.
So, Kev.
Mm-hmm.
Who has to vote first here? I think it's your turn.
Me to vote first.
That's excellent. I love that so much.
Yeah, I know.
You ready to do that, or?
I mean, you gotta do is ask me the question, and I'll tell you my answer.
So, Kev, you know, I was just kind of sitting around here,
mm-hmm.
just listening to this song, and I was just wondering what you thought. Is this a champion, or is this one bite the dust?
Fucking hell. I can listen to my head and my heart. And I think I'll have to, you know, the mood I'm in after the night I've had bowling, which didn't go great.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about bowling.
Yeah, maybe we'll go sports a bit later, but I'm going to go this way. And another one gone, and another one gone, another one bite the dust, yeah! I'm going to ask you, and then I played a little game that I've started playing a little bit here. I've written down some of the notes that I think you're going to give me back on this song. But I'm going to ask you first, for you, is this one of the champions? Or, like me, are you going to consign it to the dust pile?
I got to say, this is an easy one. And another one gone, and another one gone, another one by the dust, yeah! So? Who's going to do? You want to critique first?
I want you to, because I want to see if I've got any of the words in the right sequence that I've written down that you're going to say about this song.
Well, Kevin, here's what Randy thinks. Okay. All right. So I'll start with this. I don't think the song's strong. I think the song's weak.
Yeah.
I don't think Brian's vocal is as good as I've heard it in many other situations.
Right.
It sounds weak. I don't like that snare. You're saying, oh, he wouldn't talk about the bass, or we haven't talked about anything. I mean, the bass is just paint by numbers. It could have been played by, you know, anybody that just knows a couple of chords. So,
yeah.
I just don't think there's much there. Do you know what I mean? I just don't think there's much there. I don't think the lyrics are great either. I've already said that. It feels like a funeral dirge. I don't feel like it gets anywhere. Feel like it's trying to go somewhere, but I don't think it does arrive. Although Brian clearly arrives at the end of it. And maybe that's what he's talking about in the whole title of the song. But Yeah. You know, weak sauce.
Yeah.
You know, so good things. Really nice harmonies. There's some really, really nice harmonies there. I think they're really great. That's about it.
Fair enough.
Okay, go.
Yeah, because I'd written down, Randy will say, it's too long. And I'd written down, just doesn't go anywhere. And don't think much of the song. Those are the things that I thought you might say about this one. And I've had that in my head pretty much from like season one. I thought when we get to this song eventually, I don't think this is going to land for Randy. I will say this. I quite like the production on his vocal. I think this is a song because it's been sitting in my brain for my entire life. And it's on Sheer Heart Attack, which I think is basically a fucking flawless album, more or less. I like the sequencing of it because it leads into, it comes out of Bring Back That Leroy Brown, and it leads into In the Lap of the Gods Revisited as the last track. So this is the penultimate track. So I think it kind of, for me, it always works. It's a little bit of a weird, it's one of those little weird outliers. It's kind of like Drow's off Day at the Races, which you also weren't a huge fan of. But I quite like it because it's a bit of a moody piece, right? Mm-hmm. Simple lyric. I really like that line, but the world will know how long I'll take. And if I'm very slow, she makes me so. The only thing that takes me out of it a little bit is that ending, because I don't think that you needed to end it that way. You could have had a little bit of guitar in there or something, or just something to make it a bit interesting, because it's over a minute long, that outro. And it just drags the song out past its natural conclusion. Yeah. Or you could even have it on, you know, she is my love. Big chord, big decay. Yeah. End it there, right? You could end on that word. There's different ways you could end this song to make it, I think, a little bit tighter. But like I said, it's in my sort of in my head canon. I this is part of Queen, and I wouldn't want to lose it. And I love it on Sheer Heart Attack, and I would never skip it. So it's a song that I actually like quite a lot. But I can recognize, like, being honest about this, it doesn't move anywhere. It doesn't develop the theme at all. Which, yeah, Brian's usually quite good at, especially in longer songs. He kind of plays around with them and moves things around. But this one just repeats. Like, it's not, there's just not enough there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So for me as well, like, it's a dust. It's not. And like I said, this is one of the ones, I think I've said this on the pod before, maybe even in the Discord community, that in my head, I know 95% which songs I'm championing and which songs I'm dust on. And then this probably is one of those 5% where I wasn't really sure until tonight how I'd land on it. You know, because like, yeah, I said, I like the song and it's on Sheer Heart Attack, and I fucking love Sheer Heart Attack.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're listening to it with the sort of the intent of doing this podcast, like, I'm sitting across looking at you and I know what you're thinking, and I'm thinking, he's right. Even though we haven't said a word, but I can tell, right? It's like, Randy's going to say that this isn't going anywhere, and he's right. It's just meandering about, and it's just, okay, well, you've done that now. Let's do something else. But it just doesn't get anywhere. One thing I sort of did note too, though, like you said, if we're looking for, you know, interesting things, the structure of it is sort of, I found it a bit weird, because the, you know, I love, she makes me, she is my heart, she's my love. Lyrically, that feels like a chorus.
Yeah.
And then who knows who she'll make me as I lie in her cocoon. That feels like a verse. But melodically, it's, you know, then it would be chorus, chorus, verse, chorus, chorus. So I like that. I think that's kind of a nice little fuck around with the form. Yeah, it's kind of cool. And I do like that turnaround on that chord where it drops to like an A or an E, or it changes out of the straight pentatonic, right? Which I think is, I like that. Yeah. But it's not really enough to carry it into champion territory for me.
Yeah. Well, I will say this, because I did say that I found Brian's voice weak. And It is one of his more weaker performance, but if, you know, if they were going for vulnerability, then they nailed it. And it's not like, you know, when I say weak, I'm, you know, just to clarify, I don't mean flat, and I don't mean poorly delivered.
You don't mean poor. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, he's got fucking Roger Taylor and Freddie Mercury in the band. So
yeah,
it's good fucking luck, right? Like, you know. You know, he did pretty good all things considered, so
yeah,
you know, maybe that's why he, you know, he had to concentrate on the fucking guitar. These fucking pricks can play so good.
Yeah. I mean, lyrically, again, like it's one that I quite like it lyrically. It's very simple, and it's got a bit of mystery to it. And it is, okay, it's a little bit repetitive with she is my love, she makes me. You know, it is a bit repetitive, but I kind of like that about it, I think. Like that dirge thing, there's nothing wrong with the dirge, really.
No. Nope.
You know, you can like them or you don't, and some work and some don't, and maybe this doesn't work for you, but
yeah,
I kind of like the oppressiveness almost of it. It comes across, you know, and then the ending, like I said, just takes you into a completely different space, which is really weird. But like you said,
I like the sentiment of it. I mean, I'm a sucker for a love song. I think a good love song lyric, for it to really come across as honest and true, is the most difficult lyric to write,
mm-hmm.
and not sound like, you know, Cheez-O-Rama or you know Mr. Cornball Fest, you know, 1974 here. So they are in that, in terms of that, they are, you know, they're okay lyrics. Mm-hmm. Then, like you said, you know, the very first opening lines there, I love, she makes me, she's my heart, she's my love. Just from from anybody that I've ever listened to or discussed songwriting with,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're not, it's, you know, repeating's fine, but he repeats so much that there's so much opportunity lost for him to explain further or to give you nice descriptors further. It's gone. Yeah. It's gone. And I mean, that's fine because, you know, good Lord, I mean, lyrics are the hardest thing to write. It's the most challenging part of songwriting, I would say, for most musicians. So it's hard for me to like really be critical because I've written some shit fucking lyrics in my life, but that just seems like a missed opportunity.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I mean, if you think about, I was going to make the comment, and I think it is still valid that, you know, a young songwriter, you know, he's not written a ton of songs to this point.
Yeah.
But then undercutting that argument is Now I'm Here is on this album, which is not like it's not groundbreaking. It's not the Prophet song or 39 lyrically, but it's still a pretty strong lyric, and it's definitely a lot stronger than this one. So I think it's a very conscious, very deliberate thing that he's doing. It's not like he can't think of another way to express She Is My Love. He's doing that repetition's very deliberate for effect, right? So
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Yeah. Yeah. Just 40 or how many years later,
yeah,
some stupid idiot from Saskatchewan just thinking that he could have fucking wrote a fucking lyric. Sometimes I just find the ridiculousness of you and I commenting on this stuff as ridiculous as it fucking is.
Yeah,
but here we are.
Well, here let's look, because you know what we can do here is, you know, it's been played 1.3 million times on YouTube Music. If we take a look at Spotify.
Not bad.
If we look at Spotify, which I believe is how it's pronounced in California.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, oh my God.
Maybe you should get going before Stuart gets home.
Right. I was thinking I'd take Candy View Drive over to San Vicente and then make a left and go 405 north. From there, just get off of Mulholland.
Totally like that.
On Spotify, it has been streamed 3.335 million times. So, you know what? What the fuck do we know, really, right?
Well, I keep going back to that. We don't know fucking anything. I don't know why anybody listens to us talk about this.
We are only the start of the conversation.
That's right.
Because we have wonderful listeners, and I mean that sincerely. I'm not being fucking a dick, which is my want. But we should try and decide, what do we think people are going to say about this one, Randy? What do you think the poll's going to land on this? I mean, I guess it's my turn first, right?
Yeah, it's your turn first, buddy.
It's my turn first. And this is a difficult one again, because I think Sheer Heart Attack is a beloved album. I think it would be in most people's top five Queen albums, most fans, and in a significant number of people's top three. And I don't think that's a controversial thing for me to say that. And I think the stats would probably bear that out. So I think that it's one of those where, well, it's on Sheer Heart Attack, Bear 4 was probably one of the comments that's going to come back on this one, I suspect.
Yeah.
But I think I think Dust is going to carry it marginally. So I'm going to go 47-53.
Really?
How about that for a specific number?
You think that the Queen community at large is going to say it's less than 50?
I don't know. This is one where I really, really don't know. I don't have a sense at all of where people are on this one. Here's what I'll say. I think that most people would probably say that this is the weakest or weaker song on Sheer Heart Attack. I think it's probably one of only two songs, and I did already just a song on this that I would probably change my mind on maybe today. But I think this is one of only two on this album that has any chance of being dusted. So I'm sticking with, I think 47-53 is as good a guess as any. So where are you with this one?
I'm going to go 55.
55-45, you think it'll tip just champion? You might be right. You might be right on that.
Yeah, I was actually going to say 60-40, but your votes really was the one that's like, oh, well, fucking hell. Because I thought you were going to say like 70-30.
Oh, really?
I did.
I almost went 50-50.
Right.
I almost went 50-50, but there's something, like I say, I would, you know, appeal to our listeners here. Here's my pitch. I'm not trying to fucking sell, but again, like I said, I like this song. I'm not making any bones about that. I do like this song, but there's just not, I can't in good conscience say that out of all the catalog that it doesn't, you know, by any sort of metric that we're going to do it, is it over the 50%, top 50%? No.
Fuck.
Is it a song that you give to a non-Queen fan to say, this is representative of this band I love? No.
No.
There's no Freddie on it. You know what I mean? So no. I can't champion. Yeah. I just can't bring myself to champion it in this format.
Yeah, agreed.
The title to this one always made me, you know, naturally made me giggle when I was a kid because, well, for two reasons. Stormtrooper, you know, is like, oh, it's Star Wars, you know, it's going to giggle, giggle. And then stilettos, once you learn what, as a young man, what you learn what stilettos are, and a little bit naughty, and, you know, in some kind of context. Ooh. It's just like, ooh, Stormtrooper and Stiletto suits you, sir. I was looking too, Randy, because... do you have a license? It's 5 marks.
He just made one for himself.
Well, no, the citizens of
Manor. I think I need a license. I'm doing this machine.
That's right.
A license to drive. Now I can drive. Driving license number one. 0001.
I bet the first thing he did when he got on the road was stop the next bloke and go, there's your license.
Oh dear.
I will issue it as a license. 5 marks. 0002. Good day to you. Where's your license? I will issue you with a license. 5 marks.
Well, it's another song. We've charged another song off Sheer Heart Attack, which to date, this is our fifth song from here, Sheer Heart Attack. It's the first unanimous dust. We've each dusted one song that the other one championed, and we've unanimously championed two songs. So an album that is, like I said, beloved in the Queen catalog, it's not been universal for us so far. When I'm looking down the list, I can only really see, I think, maybe one of the song that you might dust, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Possibly two, depending on what kind of mood you're in. I'm not sure there's any more dusters for me. I don't know. Like I said, sometimes I have a pretty clear idea, and then when I actually sit down and talk about the song, it's like, oh shit, actually, I think I'm dusting this one. Tonight's song was one of them, right? It's like, oh fuck, I think I got to dust it, you know?
you did look a little tortured before you downvoted it, man.
I was aghast. I was aghast, Randy.
That's funny.
Well, God, I just feel like I'm a bad Queen fan. I feel like I'm letting my, you know, I'm letting my band down. You know, I'm badmouth Queen. I love Queen.
Yeah, well, I mean, but you can love Queen, but like, well, you basically said it. How many songs we choosing from? 100 and what?
Oh, God, loads. Yeah,
whatever. It doesn't even matter. there's got to be a line somewhere. And if we're going for 50-50, they can't all be above 50. They just can't be.
No. I did like, I mean, was someone said, like, you know, that metric of, would I give this to someone, and as if a non-Queen fan, if I'm like this huge Queen fan, would I put this on like 20 Queen songs? No, I wouldn't.
No.
I'd pick, there's 120 songs I'd pick before this one to give to someone, at least, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I could just looking at the track listing on Sheer Heart Attack, there's a bunch that I would offer up before that one, right? So, and that's just one album, so.
Yeah, and again, I mean, you think of fucking Sheer Heart Attack, they did this in the same year as they did Queen 2.
Yeah.
It's just mind-blowing. And it's been bands used to do fucking loads of multiple albums in the same year.
And yet, there will be somebody, and maybe not who's listening to our podcast, but somebody. There'll be many, many people that this is, they love this shit. This is, this spins their fucking donut. There'll be some people that just go, this is the fucking shit.
You know? And we'll hear from him in the tweets. You know, I mean, one of the things I love about this community that we've sort of stumbled across is that it's not unanimous on, on anything. I mean, we haven't had 100% either way yet, right?
Yeah.
So there's plenty of people who have got massively different tastes. And I think Queen does that, right? Queen does attract, it attracts heavy metal fans. It attracts, you know, avant-garde sort of art rock fans. And it attracts all different people because they were so eclectic that you're naturally going to get this difference of opinion, which is what we thrive on. It's what we love.
Well, don't forget the pop rock fans. They were a pop rock band.
Pop rock as well,
And they were a huge pop band. So
yeah.
So you're right. They're drawing from a lot of people. And then of course Brian brings in all the guitar nerds, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all those, and you know, Roger, which is,
and Roger brings in all the girls.
Yeah. And Roger with his dashing good looks and nice hair. Hey.
And John brings the tea, I'd assume. I'm guessing out of all the members of Queen, if anyone's getting sent out for tea and coffee, it's probably John.
It's going to be John, eh?
Not because he's the weakest member of the band, but he's going to get the order right. John's dependable. You know he's going to not fuck shit up, you know?
That's right. Yeah, he shows up on time.
Shows up on time with his guitar.
With his guitar.
He always remembers his guitar.
That's right, yeah.
You need an amp, he can build you one. You know?
Yeah. Oh, what? You don't have an amp? Just, you got a soldering iron? Yes, I do.
And you're not going to get a fucking venti soy latte when all you wanted was a Twinings English tea. Like, it's just not going to happen with John. Freddy, who the fuck knows? He's going to come back with like several new pieces of art and, you know, a fellow he just met off the street who's got an interesting sideline in tambourine painting or something, you know? Not John.
I'm not sure if your reference or not was, our good pal Jay, who played in my band for a good number of years, we showed up to play. We were all sound checked, and I'm sure that we were. I don't know how the whole story went. We're going to go on in like 15 minutes, and he doesn't have his fucking bass guitar. It's so Spinal Tap, it's ridiculous.
Well, I remember you told me the story, the way you told it to me was like, you're all sitting around having a beer before the gig, before the first set, and like you said, 15 minutes, and Jay suddenly goes, oh shit, I don't think I brought my guitar. You're all like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's one thing, the only thing.
We're here for one reason, and you can't even fucking get that fucking guitar into your car before you get down here.
Oh my God,
we laughed.
Well, you know what? For our listeners, if you ever get a chance in any way to meet Jay Carson, he's a unique, very funny, wonderful human being.
He's one of a kind, yeah.
Just doesn't always have his bass guitar with him.
And I've done it myself. We drove, to Regina, so whatever that is, 2.5 hours. And I forgot my guitar amp. And then we played Edmonton one time. We played five nights, and I forgot my suitcase.
You forgot your suitcase?
I forgot my suitcase. I'm talking.
Oh
everything.
My God.
So no underwear, no nothing. So I had to like outfit myself completely with new clothes, like You can't play a club and wear the same fucking shirt five nights in a row. So I had to get shirts and pants and the whole thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We played the wonderful Blues on White that time. That was a great game.
It's a good ball. It's a pretty notable venue. Mm-hmm. It's an Alberta, right? I mean, that's if you want to go play a gig, that's one of the places you're going to hit. So,
yeah.
You know what, folks? Randy's a big deal around these parts.
Oh, I love that. So not true.
Episode 73. I've spent the first few moments of She Makes Me wondering what she makes him do. The heavy breathing at the end sort of solidified my earlier suspicions. Have you no shame, you curly-haired devil, Brian? And what's with the stormtrooper nonsense? Where did that even come from, Raj? I don't know. If I were to title this episode, I'd call it Darth Vader in Flats, or possibly, when I get home, I'm going to rip my wife's underwear right off, because the waistband is killing me. We genuinely appreciate your support and engagement, so you can find us on Facebook and Blue Sky at Seaside Pod Review, and on Twitter at Queen Seaside. Also, Discord. We've got some extra stuff on there. Just look to Kevin and he'll send you a link. We will be back with you next week to chat about this wonderful band.
Brand new angle, highly commendable. Seaside Pod Review. Woo-hoo. Seaside Pod Review.
Give us a kiss, Kevy.
Seaside Pod Review.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take her away.